Father, we thank you for Jock. Thank you that you tell us that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. Yes. And so tonight we want to position ourselves, all of us, just to position ourselves to hear from you tonight. Thank you for Jock. Thank you for his willingness to share truth tonight. Unpack truth tonight. Unpack your word tonight. I pray you'd anoint him this evening, God, just to bring what you have deposited in his heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, guys. As always, it's so nice to see everybody. It's so good that that word came through about Jesus coming and just bringing freedom. And I want to talk about an interesting topic tonight. And I call it flying caterpillars. Okay? Any of you ever seen one of those? Because I have never. I've never seen a flying caterpillar. Anyway, we'll get back to that. All right? 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want to start with the scripture, which is always a very good place to start. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed. Can you say that word? Transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thanks, Janine. We're being transformed if we behold him. And it's not like, you know, that movie Transformers, where it goes from car to a robot or alien being and then back to a car, and it's this to and fro. No, this is transformation on and on, glory to glory. It's not there and back and there and back. But I want to speak about that change, that transformation tonight. The Greek word there is metamorphe, okay? Webster's dictionary says this: it's the process of basic and usually rather sudden change in the form and habits of some during transformation from an immature stage, like as a caterpillar, to an adult stage or mature stage, like as a butterfly. Okay, so that's the science lesson for the day. Janine, can you put that picture up, please? Ha! Look at that. Okay, that's the wrong label, but meh, okay. So that's the life cycle, or one of some of the stages. It must have been Wayne. Okay. All right. That's the life cycle, or part of it, of the monarch butterfly. And at the top left, you see the caterpillar. And then it attaches itself to what it thinks is safe space. And it hangs like that, and it does this little wiggle, and it forms a cocoon like that. And then once it's completely transformed, it emerges with a struggle. It emerges as a flying butterfly. So try and remember that picture when you read that scripture about transformed, okay? Thank you, Janine. Thank you. The Christian life is similar to that. It starts with repentance, which I hope most of you have done. And if you haven't done that, tonight's the night. It starts with repentance, and that means a 180-degree turn. You were this way, now you're turning and going the other way. Complete repentance. But then you keep on changing. Like the scripture in Corinthians, it says, glory to glory. Problem is, many of us don't like change because we like being in control, or we think our way is best, and we like being in control of our own destiny. And we don't want to place our future in God's hands. We think we can do it better. You know, we say the right answers, but deep down we still want to do that. And it's hard to leave our traditions, our habits, even the things that, you know, even things like our self-pity and our hurts. It's hard to let go of them. We like holding on to these things that makes us feel like that's part of us. We like staying caterpillars. The problem is, you can't stay a caterpillar. If that caterpillar on that picture stayed a caterpillar in that cocoon, he would just rot. If he doesn't transform into a butterfly, he's not going to fly. Like, he'll just rot as a little rotten little worm. We have to change. The word says we are being changed. We are being transformed. If you're in this game, if you're in the Christian walk, you are being transformed. So are you allowing yourself to be transformed? That's all I want to speak about tonight. But then comes the question, how much should I transform? Like, how much is enough? Must I completely lose myself? Will I lose my identity? Most of us start as people in the world, and we have our own desires, dreams, wants. They're not necessarily bad. Same interests. But we live for ourselves. We follow our own hobbies. Basically, we're selfish, you know, if you're in the world. But then there's this little niggle about morality and decent behavior. And you hear about Jesus and you hear, oh, there's a higher standard, lifting the bar. You know, the law is generally accepted in the world that you shouldn't murder, right? In every culture, that's normally a bad thing, okay? Even without, completely without Jesus, in every culture, somehow there's that basic moral line. Then Jesus comes with a higher standard. Even if you are irritated with your brother, you are hating him. And it's like you murdered. He raises the bar. So there's this thing inside you that says there's a higher standard that you need to comply to and live towards. But that is in tension with your own desires, right? I see a lot of heads nodding here. So to try and be good, and being good is then giving in to those moral demands that the world put on you, or not the world, the church puts on you, and your conscience puts on you, and the right thing to do, you know? And there's pressure to do them. And we do them, okay? Most of us do them. But then there's always this hope that once you've done enough of that good stuff, that there'll be something left, some life left, that you can have some fun. You know? You can still follow your dreams. You can still get what you wanted, or that will feed your flesh, or what you desire. You know, how do I balance this thing of doing what I know is right, but indulging myself? Have you experienced that tension? You know? We have dreams and plans, but some of them are not aligned with what God has for us. Some of them. It can also be seen like, so the question is, how can I live to please God while getting to do what I want? And many of us do Christianity this way. We try and live to please God. We comply, we're meeting the right, at the meetings, saying the right things, lift our hands up in the right way, but I still kind of want to do what I want, even if it's not in God's will, maybe on a Thursday. Or the furthest day away from Sunday, I can maybe dip and then come back, you know, peak on a Sunday afternoon in terms of goodness or something. Sounds silly now. But we try and add Jesus into our lives. We try and add him on, like, let the good parts overwhelm the bad parts. And it's, instead of what we should be doing is completely base our lives on him, we try and add him in. And that will never work. It's almost like, you know, if you have a job and you earn money, you have to pay taxes. In the same way, as you pay taxes, you kind of hope that afterwards there's something left for you to go on holiday with, or left for you to buy presents with, or left for you to do what you want that the government is not telling you what you should be doing with your money. And sometimes we live our Christian lives like that. It's like we kind of do our good stuff, hoping that there's enough me left that I can still have some fun. You know? The reason that that's a problem and we have this tension is because when we start thinking about these things, we think of ourselves as our old selves, the one with those desires, with those selfish dreams, with looking after number one. And that creates frustration. That's often why it's hard. Because people will, have you heard this before? Oof, I'm so struggling with this. I'm struggling to stop smoking. I'm struggling with anger. You're struggling Because you start with your old self as the basis, and you have this balance between trying to do right, but then giving into self-pity, or giving into, oh, but I'm still hurt by that guy, or what he did there wasn't right, and it doesn't just doesn't, and you kind of indulge and let that thing fester because you think you deserve it somehow, because you start considering your old, more carnal self. That's your foundation, where you start thinking about your goodness and your badness. If you see Christianity like that, sorry, badness is a horrible word, your goodness and your evilness. If you see Christianity like that, you will always have a problem. Because if you do think that way, one of two things will happen. You just stop caring, and you just be bad. You're selfish, but you're happy. You're not going to bother anybody. You're just going to live selfishly. That can happen. You can go, this is just not worth it. Or you really, really try and be good. And you try and beat your body into submission. And you force yourself to, you force your sinful self to do all these things. To try and be good. But with that, we become very, very unhappy. Because you're still somebody, an old self, trying to live like a new self. You're a caterpillar trying to fly. Have you tried to stick wings onto a caterpillar? I haven't, but it'll be bad for the caterpillar, I think. Use staples or glue, Wayne. Which one did you try? I don't know. Anyway, Wayne laughs like he's done it before. It won't work. It just will not work. Romans 7:18 speaks about this conflict. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is good, but I cannot. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. There's this tension in Romans. Is it coming through there? Yes. Okay. Different translation. The reason for this is if you're really, really going to try and be good, if you're going to try to comply to all the demands that Christianity puts on you, that the standard that the law gives you, there will be nothing left for you to go on holiday with. There'll be nothing left for you to indulge in. There'll be nothing left for you to be selfish with. You will literally burn out because you cannot do it. You can't live on that. It's unsustainable. So you will either just give it up and just turn bad, or you'll be one of those people that try and grind it on, but you get discontented. You get critical. You think, why am I doing all the hard work and everybody else isn't doing it? You start grumbling. You'll be wondering, why is nobody noticing what I'm doing? I'm serving and nobody's seeing it. I'm not getting commended for it. You get irritable. You start finding fault in others if you try and do this in this way. And generally, it's harder for anybody to live with you than if you were just bad in the first place. At least you're just bad and happy and selfish, and they know you are, and they're not critical with you. Which is also bad. So none of those two options are good, okay? There was no bright side here. Okay. But Isaiah 64 verse 6 just quickly says, even our best deeds are like filthy rags. So it's bad anyway, okay? Our best deeds. Sometimes we find that we want to live well, but we get stuck on this maybe one or two areas of compromise. We fall back into it. Whatever it is, we keep falling into it. And you're repenting and come to church. Okay, Lord, thank you. But then you're stuck in that cycle. It's happened to me. It happens a lot. Okay, I'm going to go for this. Romans 7, verse 23 to 25. Let's read it. If you have a Bible, let's read it. It's a bit of a longer piece, but it explains the same thing. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members, What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Okay, next verse. Then the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. I suggest you read that slower in your quiet time. But it speaks about the same thing. The same thing. We can't do this without God. The thing is, we cannot keep on living, or we cannot live free and selfless lives, like freely, without Jesus. We can't do it while we're in our original state, our original old self state. If that's the place where you start from, if you're holding on to that person that was supposed to have drowned with your baptism, it's not going to work. You cannot fly if you're still a caterpillar. You have to be transformed, like it says in Corinthians. Then, flying will be what you do naturally. Have you seen butterflies? They're not butter-sits. They fly. Like, they fly. That's the Christian way. Like, you have to transform into, and then flying is just what you do. But if you're still a caterpillar, phew, it's hard. It's impossible. And we'd still try and do that. So that's the Christian way. But here's the thing. We all know it's not that easy. You can't just say it, and now you are that. Because the Christian way is harder than that, but it's also easier than that. It's both. And the Bible makes this clear. I'm going to show you in Matthew, Jesus' words in one book, so one eyewitness, Matthew, he saw this, and he heard Jesus say this. So I think we can trust it. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus says, in terms of everything, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So wait to that, okay? So what Jesus there says is, give me everything. I want all of you. I don't want half of you. I don't want you on a Sunday afternoon and a Wednesday evening. I want all of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. There is nothing left. Okay? I want all of you. Not fit you into my life. You fit into me. What Jesus is saying is, I've not come to irritate you and frustrate you and have this tension and torment you with trying to be good. I'm not here to torment you. I'm here to kill you. I'm here to completely kill the old self. There's no contest. It shouldn't hurt anymore. We used to have a slogan, dying to live, right? Why is that not on our banners anymore? Who's in charge here? We should ask them. We should ask them. No half measures, guys. No lukewarmness. He wants all of us. It's literally like sticking wings on a caterpillar. He wants to completely transform us. And he says that. He says, I will give you a new self. And then Jesus says, I will give you me. I will give you me. He'll give us Jesus. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he says, and I will give you a new heart with new and right desires. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart of sin and give you a new obedient heart. Complete transformation. Not sticking wings on a caterpillar. Caterpillar to butterfly. Complete, complete transformation. It's both harder and easier than what we try to do, and I'll explain that now. Sometimes it's very hard, and sometimes it's very easy. Jesus says in Matthew 16, take up your cross. In other words, take up the thing that will torture and kill you, because the cross is nothing else than a torture and murder weapon, execution weapon. It's like an electric chair or a gallows. How many of those do you see hanging around people's necks? You know, it's the same kind of thing. It was just the method of killing. And Jesus says, take up your cross. In other words, this is going to be really hard. It's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever do. It'll be like the word excruciating comes from ex crucifixo. It's from the cross because it's that painful, that hard. And he says, take up your cross. So it's hard. And the next minute in Matthew 11, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Same Jesus, talking about the same thing. And he means both, and both are true. And I'm not going to try and explain how that works today. But I want to keep on talking about that a little bit, if it's okay. It might appear difficult to take up your cross, to be completely transformed. It might appear difficult for the caterpillar to become a butterfly. Okay? Granted. I'm not saying this is easy. But what's the other option? The other option is you try and stay a caterpillar. You're just going to rot in the cocoon. That option is way more dangerous. I want to tell a story. So a few years ago, a few of us decided we are going to kayak down a section of the Orange River. And a few of you are in this room right now. And we packed our kayaks, and we had these inflatable boats called crocs, and we loaded it with a lot of luggage, like so heavy that those crocs, once they loaded in the water, you couldn't lift or move them. They had to float. Otherwise, you had to unpack them completely before they can be moved. And we had these whitewater kayaks. We were a team of about 8 people, I think. And we put in this one section. I think it was Onsiepkans. Yeah. Nikki is smiling. And then we started down on this river. And we had information that at one place the river splits. And you have to go on the right fork. You have to go to the right. Do not go straight. There's a deep gorge ahead. Do not go straight. So we went down. And there was one section where there was a bit of a fork, but we weren't sure that it was that. And we thought, okay, but this is going to be hard because it's too shallow. The river was really low. To move from this canal over to that section, we'll have to carry stuff. You know, this is not going to work. There's water flowing this way. This must be it. Let's go straight for now. You know, it's getting afternoon. You know, there's nothing there. It's the border with Namibia. It's desert. It's an adventure. And we're going, okay, I think we should, I think Nikki was kind of the leader. So we were like, we can blame him. So we were talking like, should we continue this way? Should we try and go to the right here? But there were rocks and it was really heavy. And we were, how long is it going to take for us to lug these things just over these rocks to that water, which we know will be safe, but this looks so much easier. So we went straight. And the next thing we saw, we were in this gorge. We look up and suddenly, okay, much higher than this building was just these rocks going up. And we could see, well, now there is no way of going out of this river. And there's no way of going upstream. So we ended up having to run through that section of the gorge. And I'm talking, if you know river grades, like this is really hectic grades. It's like people say, do not run that gorge. Like the pros go, they can probably do it, but it's not for people like us to do. Maybe for Nikki, but not for the rest of us. And we had people that's never been on a river before in these crocs, and they were coming down, and they were trusting us to lead them. We weren't knowing what's around the next bend. We didn't know if there was a waterfall. What? Why am I telling you this story? If we had just turned, which seemed hard at the time, what we ended up having to go through was much worse, much harder. Literally, we could have really, people say that a lot, okay? But we could have died. Like it sounds so cheesy now. But yeah, not again. But it was really dangerous. And we're like, okay, well, now we're stuck. We have to get through here. It's getting dark and we're running these rapids. If we had just made the little bit more effort just to get over these rocks to the flat water, we would have bypassed that whole section. It turned out to be a lot worse than it need to be, because that option is much more dangerous. Same with the transformation. Choose to walk with Jesus. The other option is much more dangerous. This will be hard. This will be hard. You're going to have to die to self. But what's the other option? It is much harder, even though it looks easier at the beginning. You're not going to be happy. The unchanging thing, the easy thing, the lazy thing, turns out to be the most dangerous thing. So are you willing to make a bit of effort now? Get over those rocks and get to the calm water, or just not do anything, go with the flow, your old life, and get stuck in a very dangerous gorge that you can't get out of. We got through by a miracle. So we try to remain ourselves, keep our own desires, our own happiness, our comfort, and yet we try and live godly. But literally, that's like trying to stick wings on caterpillars. It's not sustainable. Matthew 7:16. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? That's right. You can't, if you're a thistle bush, you can't start producing figs. You have to rip the tree out and plant a new tree. I know some of you are wondering, what does that scripture have to do with the river? I'm talking about complete transformation. You have to plant a new tree. So practically, how will this work? How do we do this? And I want to take it right down to a day-to-day. Right down to a day-to-day. As you wake up each morning, what's the first thing you think of? Like all the plans and the ideas and things of the day rushes towards you. As you wake up, okay, the things you have to do, the responsibilities, work, getting up in time, children, whatever it is, everything rushes at you. Suddenly you go from sleeping to my mind's working and I have to think of and deal with all these things, right? So something to do with is to pause those things and go, Lord, help me. Listen to the Holy Spirit voice in that moment, before you even sit up in your bed. Go, Lord, let me start this day right. That's a renewal of your mind. That's a renewal of your mind. We listen to that quieter voice and go, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? All these things are there, Lord, but give me grace to deal with them. And it might start, it might be difficult at first, and it might start like just for a few seconds, and then you get overwhelmed by the things of the day. That's okay. The next day you do it again, until eventually it's for larger periods of the day, and eventually it's your lifestyle. Will you go, okay, Lord, every day, step by step, and you don't get overwhelmed with the stuff, and the desires and selfishness that will come at you, oh, I want to do this, that, you submit to the Lord. You surrender Him to the Lord. So can we allow ourselves to be transformed so that we can change from glory to glory? 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're being changed from glory to glory. That word transform is the same word that's in Matthew 17:2, Mark 9:2, where Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and he's transformed. It's the same word, completely different. The same word's used. Romans 12:1, where he speaks about transforming your mind, same word. Okay, so here's another step by step. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, we read from 15 to 18. Okay. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Okay, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay, go on, that's one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We read that verse 18 in the beginning. So that's when we, number one, turn away from legalism, in 15, turn towards Jesus, in verse 16, and then make the Spirit your Lord, ask the Spirit, in verse 17, and then look to God's word for guidance. Then we are being transformed. In those verses, there's a step-by-step. Go work it through. Turn from legalism, refers to Moses there, turns towards Jesus, make the Spirit Lord, and look into God's word. That's how Corinthians, it says in Corinthians, we will be transformed, if we truly do that. If we truly do that, you cannot but live unchanged. You will be transformed. He's saying, if you do this, you'll be transformed. Like that caterpillar, he hangs, he becomes a cocoon. If he does that and lies still, he gets transformed. God does it. Caterpillar doesn't do it himself. So do we allow ourselves to morph, to grow, to change, to become more, to transform? Matthew 5, verse 48, it says, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a statement of completeness. Perfect. Not kind of good, 50-50, completely. No half measures. A complete transformation is demanded. That butterfly will not fly off half of him is still a caterpillar. It just won't work. So it might be hard for a caterpillar to turn into a butterfly. That's a hard process. But it's much harder for a caterpillar to get wings and fly without becoming a butterfly. Does it make sense? There must be a transformation. For us, there must be a transformation. If we try that, we just sit in the cocoon, we'll just rot. In 2003, I came in here, and this was a cement floor, half the roof wasn't on, and all of Josh Gen was about 100 people. And these guys, Nikki, Yaku, JJ, looked at me as this kuyavel that came in here, going after their sister, Jeanette, and giving me the evil eye, like Lesteri Booty. And I couldn't care less at that time. I had my own story. But I loved the family and the love, and I loved what was being taught in the doctrine here. So I stuck around. Only 3 months later, and at that time I thought, no, I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church. I was confirmed. I did my Sunday school. I thought I knew something of the Bible. I thought I belonged to Jesus. Only 3 months later, in March 2004, Andrew spoke about surrender. I said, if you bend your knee to him, if you surrender to him, see what he will do with you. And in that moment, I went, okay, that's different. I don't have that. I put my hand up. I will surrender. At that moment, I didn't even think that I was actually getting saved. I thought I was saved. And I just went, okay, Andrew, I'll do what you say, because it was a cool preach about surrender. And I remember Mornay and Chad come to me so excited. Wow, it's so amazing that you're getting saved. And I was like, no, I'm not getting saved. I'm saved, you know. This is just surrender, you know. And they were like, oh, well, let's pray for you anyway. You know, so they prayed for me. And that was my day of getting saved. It's surrender. You're not saved if you just say, I love Jesus. He's my Savior. If you really believe it, it will show in surrender. You will bend your knee. You will allow yourself to be transformed. I wasn't sure until then, but after that, I was sure. So if today you're here and you're not sure that you are surrendered to him, that you're allowing yourself to be transformed, there's a chance here that you can just make that call and be sure and go, yes, I surrender. I'm allowing myself to be transformed, to, like in Corinthians, be taken from one degree of glory to the next. I'll die to my old self. I don't want to base my Christian walk on my old self. It's not the old me that gets anything. This is a new me, a new creation. There's a surrender in that process, guys. And that can be scary because we sang, our God reigns. And that's something big. If you declare that, somebody reigns over you, you're in a vulnerable position to them. If you surrender to someone, you're in a vulnerable position to them. They can abuse that. And maybe some of us have been abused by people in power over us, you know, willingly, whether we were willing or not. So surrender can be scary. But will you entrust your soul to a faithful creator? In 1 Peter 4:19, it says, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. Does it say the same there? It's kind of, yeah. I'm reading NLT here. That means a caterpillar life is sacrificed for a butterfly life. Will you trust that process? So are there areas in your life that you haven't fully surrendered in? that's not in that cocoon, and you're still like holding on to it, because it'll just rot. It'll trip you up every time. Are you struggling with trying to be good, hoping that you can still indulge in some of your old nature? Those dodgy Netflix series that's like borderline. Can I still watch those things? Those kind of things. Are you still allowing yourself to become irritated or offended or holding on to an offense with someone or some hurt that's happened due to offense because you don't think it's fair? Or you struggle to forget and forgive? Remember a wound. Then you're not fully surrendered. It's not okay to tell someone, it's okay, bro, I forgive you, eh? I forgive you. But you never forget that. That guy. Oh, did we come and break bread? And yeah, but that guy. It's serious stuff. I'm not going to go into breaking bread now. I'm ending with this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you do this, if you surrender, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a butterfly. He's not a caterpillar. There's nothing caterpillary about him. He's a butterfly. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Even Jesus did that when he was on the cross. Luke 23:46. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He gave it. He said, I give myself to you. He dies to himself. He trusted God to sustain him. He trusted the Spirit to raise him. He didn't raise himself. And Romans 12 verse 1, we spoke about living sacrifice. But giving yourself, it means this, to present your body as a living sacrifice. Mike, can you guys come do your thing? Does that make sense? Often I still feel like a caterpillar. But it's this thing of every morning. I love that we can talk about this practically, and maybe we can talk about that more into the future. But how do we do this practically? How do we win these battles? But unless we are allowing ourselves to be transformed and move on, everything that's alive grows. So you cannot be the same person day in, day out, year in, year out. There must be a growth. You must allow yourself to be moved forward, to be transformed, like it says in Corinthians. So, if you feel that there are areas in your life where you are holding on, that you haven't surrendered to the Lord, it could be all of you. Not all of you, I mean all of you, you know? All the things. I want to give you the chance to just do business with the Lord and just tell him, Lord, I give you this. Just like in 2004, I went, okay, Lord, I surrender. I give up. You know that since then, whatever the Lord has asked me has been easy because I've already surrendered. Like, I hope this doesn't get tested more, but it's been easier. Like, when something is asked of you, if you already surrendered, if you died to your old self, you died anyway. It just makes it possible. You're a new creation. Can we stand? Let's close our eyes. Lord, thank you firstly that we even come out as caterpillars, Lord. And that's okay. It's okay for us to start like that. It's okay for us to be caterpillars, and there's a reason in that, Lord. But when we come to you, Lord, you transform us. You transform us, Lord. And we cannot do this without you. We have to surrender to you and your way. We have to lie still when you do that surgery, Lord. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to do the thing that seems hard now. That thing of complete surrender. That thing of giving control over. It seems so hard, Lord, but the alternative is so much more dangerous. So I pray, Lord, that we will come to you and allow you into those areas in our hearts, Lord, where we haven't surrendered to you, Lord Jesus. I just want to ask for each of us now. Just do business with the Holy Spirit. Just let the Spirit show you, oh, I'm holding on to this thing. Whatever it is, self-control, self-protection, hurts, self-pity, selfishness, whatever it is, whatever the Holy Spirit will allow you, like show you now, will highlight to you now, just bring it to the Lord. It's just between you and Him. Just between you and Him. And if you realize, sure, I've been sticking wings on myself as a caterpillar and it's really uncomfortable. In other words, I've been trying to do this Christian stuff, but I keep on tripping up. I keep on not winning. I keep on failing in it. Just allow the Lord to transform you. Like the steps in Corinthians. As you turn away from the law, the old law, without Jesus, then see Jesus, receive the Spirit, and live in the Spirit. There was that picture about freedom in the beginning, of Jesus cutting the shackles free. Will you allow the Lord to do that for you? To make you a new creation? I want to ask if you feel you need prayer for that, I would love to pray with you. For freedom, for transformation, I want to ask if you come to the front, man. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for each other. Let that transformation happen. If you want to surrender areas in your heart that you've held on to, when you feel there's a tension, you will know it's there if you feel the struggle inside you, like it's written in Romans. I know what's good and I want to do good, but I do what's bad. Lord, thank you that this is a complete transformation. A butterfly cannot become a caterpillar. You can't go back. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Yes, Lord. So I want to pray for everybody in front here, Lord Jesus. I think there's more people, guys. If you're not sure, like I was in church 20 years ago, I wasn't sure, but I wanted to make sure that I'm going to surrender. If you're not sure, come surrender. Come to the front as an expression and come surrender. Just come express that. Yes, I surrender to you, Lord. I give you my all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for everybody here. Lord, come and have your way here.